across all time zones, covering both hemispheres, live on the Artist First Radio Network. Welcome to another broadcast of Author Assist. All past broadcasts are podcasts. You can find them at artistfirst.com. And now, live from the city of Manchester in England, it's your host, Karina Cantus.
Thank you so much, Z-Man. Well, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, depending on where you are in the world. For those of you who are regulars, you would have noticed a little difference to that introduction. I am no longer on the island in the Mediterranean. I'm now permanently back home on the island of England. Yes, the UK. After leaving a mentally abusive relationship of 30 years, I can now eat what I want, wear what I want, go where I want, and don't have to ask permission all the time. I'm ready to take charge of my life and get my independence back and get Karina back. Well, welcome to the show, folks. You have two wonderful authors joining me today, and they're making their mark in the world in very different ways. First up, I'd love you all to meet Lee Lincoln. Welcome to the show, Lee.
I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you. Let's start with some backstory before we go into your writing and your books. What was your education like, your background? Did you finish school? Did you carry on with education? Did you go to work?
I am from a small town in Western United States. I do have a bachelor's degree, but it's not in writing. It's in religion studies. I was a single mom for a very long time, worked a lot of little jobs because I chose to raise my son rather than work full-time. I kind of had a very different path in life than a lot of people. Because I made choices based on what I felt was best for my son rather than looking at what was best financially, which is not how a lot of people try to look at life. I took the harder path, I think. So
it sounds like you were struggling for a while there with the situation you were in.
Yeah. And like I say, I did it because I wanted to be the one who raised my son rather than caregivers. I wanted to be mm-hmm. his caregiver. And so, yeah. But it was, again, it was the harder path. So
did you actually finish school? I don't know how old you were when you fell pregnant. So,
yeah, no, I got a bachelor's degree, and so I had finished school when I had my son. I was almost 30 when I had my son.
Right, lovely.
Yeah. So, and I'm in my 50s now, and he's an adult and living on his own and doing very well. So I'm really proud of him, and I'm really proud of what he's been able to accomplish. So despite the fact that I wasn't able to give him everything that money could buy, but I gave him what I thought was more important. So,
yeah,
I gave him myself.
Your love, your dedication,
right.
Exactly. You gave him you. He had a mum, and that's why he turned out to be the man he is today, because of you. And so you being proud of your son, you should be proud of yourself as well. Good job, yeah. Really good job. Going back to when you were at school, how creative were you? I mean, normally when people write, they're creative in that way, but they also have another talent somewhere. So were you musical? Did you dance? Did you sing? How was your imagination in school?
I don't think I ever was super creative. I did kind of dabble in the arts. I did music for a while. I did painting. I did drawing for a while. So I think I've always been kind of artistically bent, but
Yeah.
But I think that's part of how I was raised. My mother played piano. I think it was partially how I was raised. I was raised in a home where artistic interests were a big thing. So,
yeah, that's good. I mean, as I say, once you've got that creative blood in you, whether you use it in one field like you have done with your writing, but you always have a talent elsewhere, and it's good that you can express yourself through art, through drawing and music. So going back to the writing, I mean, what was the first thing you ever got published?
My first book, Road Home, I published in 2016, and it actually didn't start out as a book. I wrote it quite by accident. As a middle-aged woman, I was kind of getting to the point where I was feeling like my opinion just didn't matter and I was being ignored. I was just getting told a lot that what I had to say didn't matter because I was just a mom. I had never had the right job. I didn't have the right education. I've been doing a lot of volunteer work with homeless and poverty advocacy, but that didn't matter. And so I just sat down one night and I started journaling and just pouring my heart out. And one night became two, and then it became several weeks. And then 3 months mm-hmm. later, I looked at what I'd written. And at some point, I'd flipped the script. And instead of writing about myself, I started writing from the perspective of a homeless woman. And I realized I turned this into what could potentially be a novel. And so I was like, well, what do I do with this? And so I contacted a few people, found a writer's group in this town in Montana. And I said, you know, can I fix this? And so I did a lot of work with it and ended up self-publishing it. Just never thought it would do anything because, well, again, I don't have any training in writing. It was kind of a hot mess. Thought, well, you know, I'll raise some money for charity, raise some awareness about homelessness, and, you know, get my opinion out there, because then you can't ignore me anymore. It's a printed book, right? And yeah. It just took off, like, in a way I never thought it would. It just kind of created a life of its own. So I was like, whoa, you know. I went from being ignored to... oh, now I'm an expert in homelessness. How did that happen?
Well, so. This is it. This is what writing nonfiction and many speakers do with their books. It shows their authenticity. It shows that they are an expert in that topic. And that what you've done is, instead of writing a nonfiction book of how to or what's going on with the world when it comes to homelessness, you've turned it into fiction using your own experiences as well. And
yeah.
Putting those two together, you've got if not yet, it will be a bestseller on your hands. And when you feel that, I wouldn't say shock, but you feel as though you found the right path, and you writing that book made you feel like you were somebody, and like you said, you were being heard now. You could get your opinion out and nobody could stop you. Freedom of speech and all that. And people read your work and they appreciate what you've done. They appreciate what you're telling people, what you're coming across as who you're being. And that's really powerful, not just to having a book published, but being heard, like you said. That's really powerful.
Yeah, and that's why I decided to keep writing, because I'm hoping to inspire other women to find their voice. And, you know, I'm not saying every woman needs to write a book, but I am saying that so many women are ignored. And, you know, I hear this a lot from women that, I don't run a business. I'm just a housewife. I'm just a mom. I'm just a whatever. And I'm just like, no, just throw that word out. Just is not a word that should be in your vocabulary. And so
you're working your butt off. That is a job. That is being a domestic engineer, being a carer, giving
yeah.
all of your heart, your soul, your energy into that job. I think housewives, mothers, we work harder than some of these 9-to-5 workers that get a paycheck.
Well, yeah, because being a mom is not a job that you clock in, clock out of. You're a mom 24/7, 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. It's the hardest job on the planet, and like you say, you don't get paid for it. So some of my other books, you know, I really kind of showcase how hard it is to be a mom, and what kind of goes into that, and how hard it is to have a voice as a woman, and you know, and how a lot of factors play into, you know, guilt over things that we've done, you know, kind of making us feel like we can't find our own place. And so I just love it when I get emails from readers going, oh, this character could be me. And I'm just like, yes, you're getting it. And so, I've got 4 novels now, and I'm slowly building a really good reader platform. And I'm just loving some of the emails I get, because I'm just like, yeah, find your voice, find your passion, find what you need to do, find who you are, because that's what we need to do as women. And like I say, I found my voice through my writing, but I know that's not the path for everyone, but I think everyone needs to find their voice and figure out how to share it. So.
Mm-hmm. When you started writing Broken Road, did you know it was going to be a series?
No, I just figured I'd throw it out there one and done. Never thought I was going to write more. But again, because it just kind of took a life of its own. When COVID hit, I just decided, well, let's write another one and see if I can pull it off. And I wrote to Freedom. I specifically wrote it really detailed with various places that I traveled to try to inspire people to keep their minds open about travel, even though we couldn't because, you know, everything was locked down. You couldn't even go to the next town some places, depending where you lived. So, yeah. Oh, bad. So,
traveling the imagination.
Road to Freedom. Yeah, use your imagination. So I wrote Road to Freedom, and it's about a man who's dying of cancer, and he takes his new bride to Cuba and Spain, where he's lived before, as he tries to right all his wrongs before he dies. And so I've got these beautiful, deep descriptions of Cuba and Spain and all places that I've traveled to. And so as I was writing the book, depending on what chapter I was working on, I had this picture boards of pictures of these places because, again, I've traveled there. And so I had them on the board. And just as I was writing, I was just bringing back all these memories of my travels. And so when that one was published, even though it was a really deep book about, you know, this man is dying, and people were like, even though it was a really deep subject, I just so loved your descriptions of Spain and Cuba. I just want to travel, and but I can't.
Oh, wonderful.
But you've just so inspired me, and, you know, your descriptions were just so beautiful. And so that book, you know, it was great because of the time it was written in. And so so that one was just really fun because of that. And so because it was well received, I was like, okay, let's just keep going. And so then I wrote the third one, and then I wrote the fourth one, and now I'm writing a fifth. So I'm just like, hey, okay, I can do this. And I have to say, without a good editor, I wouldn't be able to, but because I'm a bit of a hot mess.
They are worth their weight in gold, editors.
Oh, my goodness.
We're storytellers. We write the book, but they're the ones that finish the book.
Exactly, yeah. Because I hand her my hot messes, and she makes them just true diamonds, I have to say. Without my editor, I would be nowhere. So...
That's wonderful. So let's talk about the fourth book, The Road West. You're going to do a small reading from that in a moment. What is the story about?
So The Road West just was published in December, And it was a number one new release on Amazon for most of the month of December, which was the first one of mine that reached that achievement. So I guess it took book four to finally get there. But it is about an elderly woman who had a moment of indiscretion in her youth, and now a stranger has come knocking on her door, which causes her to share her story. And in doing so, she discovers she just caused ripple waves in a whole bunch of lives, and she had no idea. And so basically, because she almost had an affair, she kind of hid from the world her entire life and was living with guilt and shame and all of this. And so, yeah.
She faces all that because of that stranger, huh?
Yes. Yeah, and so you slowly see the story unfold, and you see both sides of it. You see her side of it, and you see the man that she had this moment with. You see both sides of it. And I did it in a really unique way, because she's telling her story, and then this stranger has brought letters from the man she almost had the affair with. So he reads these letters, and so you get to see both sides of the story. So I did this in a kind of a unique way. And like I say, it's been really well received, which kind of shocked me. So I was like, oh, cool. So, yeah.
don't discredit yourself, you know. You've done it once, you've done it twice. If you do it three times, then, you know, you're not going to make a wrong move when it comes to... Because once you've got your fan base, you know that your books are going to be sold, whether they... get good reviews or bad reviews. It depends on what people like. People have different tastes, but you have your people to buy your books, and so, you know, that gets you up the Amazon best-selling ladder. Do you want to go ahead?
The way I look at reviews, yeah. even a one star is fine, because, well, not everybody likes everything, so mm-hmm. I'm okay with it, so, yeah.
Exactly, and they took the time to leave that review, which means a lot, because a lot of people don't bother even to do that, whether it's negative or positive. Yeah. No, it's good to get the negative with the positive, because if you get so many that say the same thing, then that's when you have to listen to what they're saying.
Right. Yep. Exactly.
Okay, so do you want to read that small excerpt you have from The Road West?
Exactly. I am ready. His gaze drifted down to his lap. His head sank till his chin rested on his chest. His quiet voice rang loud with the accusation. From what I could piece together, you and my father were having an affair. Even though I'd expected to hear these words, they hit me like a punch. Taking a deep breath, I tried to get a grip on the wave of dizziness that washed over me. After a few moments, I was able to regain my composure enough to reply, as for having an affair, it's not what you think. Things were a bit complicated. Complicated? Seems to me either you had an affair or you didn't. And in these pages, he professes his undying love. How can the situation be anything other than what I believe it to be? His face drew down into a frown. Oh, my heavens. This felt like some kind of practical joke being played on me. However, I was keenly aware it wasn't. I understand you might be upset with your father, but things with Luis never went that far. I grimaced. There was a moment of indiscretion, words exchanged, feelings shared, but not on the level you believe. He leaned forward, giving me a long look. Okay, explain to me what you think happened between the two of you then. Nestling back into the chair, he tapped the envelope on his knee several times. A sense of deja vu swept over me as I experienced a repeat of that moment with Frank years ago, one I had no wish to repeat ever again. Yet Javier deserved to know at least a few details, didn't he? It wouldn't be fair to send him away believing the worst of his father. No, those kinds of half-truths were what had caused so many problems in my marriage. Best not to allow the rot to start growing again. Fine, but let me start by telling you how I first met your father before I married Frank, before the incident I believe you may be referring to. I took in another deep breath, still unsure if the proper thing to do here was for me to bare my soul to this man. He wasn't much older than my own child, and there wasn't any way I was ever going to tell her any of this. But sin has a way of finding you. You can't bury it. You can't ignore it for years and pretend nothing happened, because the roosters always come home to roost.
Nice ending line on that scene. Yeah, it sounds like she didn't have an affair. It sounds like she was very innocent in the whole thing, but it's haunted her for some reason.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see what's going on there, because an indiscretion. I mean, that's shoved under the carpet the moment it happens nowadays.
Yeah, but 50 years ago, probably not so much.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so what are you working on right now, Lee?
So I'm putting aside the Broken Roads series right now because I'm just so excited to start on my new series. I am going to finish the Broken Roads series at some point, but I've decided to start my new series this year rather than wait. And my new series is going to be on adoption. So the first book, which should be released this fall, will be from the perspective of the birth father who got a girl pregnant in college and then, instead of dealing with it, took off for Vietnam and then came home from Vietnam and pretended his whole entire life before then didn't exist, created a whole new life, and then 50 years later gets an email from someone claiming to be his daughter. And now he has to deal with everything from this child that he never knew to Vietnam to everything and all the lies he's told along the way.
Oh, I love it. Oh. Drama.
Exactly.
So you think this is going to be a long series then?
It's going to be at least four books, because I want to do from the birth father, from the birth mother, to the parents who adopted the child, and then the child. I want to do at least four books. So,
yeah.
I want to get everyone's point of view. And the first book is going to be, I've tentatively titled it The Lost Father, but it's still a work in progress baby book. Like I say, it's not coming out till this fall, so it's still in the early stages yet. So yeah, but I'm just so excited to get this project out there. I still have at least one more book in the Broken Road series that is in progress, but I've kind of put it aside because I'm really excited about this new project. So I'm like, you know, I can kind of mix things up a little bit. So
that's wonderful. So where can people find you and your books, Lee?
So my books are, of course, available on Amazon, some other retailers as well. But the easiest way is to go to my website, leelincolnauthor.com. And that's Lee, L-E-I-G-H, LincolnAuthor.com. All of the books are there with quick, easy links to Amazon, because it can be kind of hard to find on Amazon. And then also the audiobooks are available for direct download off of my website.
Perfect. I love that.
Yeah. So, it's a quick, easy way to connect is through my website, because all the links are there, whether you choose to buy off of Amazon or not. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I like that you give that opportunity for people to buy direct from you, because it costs a lot of money to publish a book and market a book. And, you know, if we can sell our books direct sales and readers are willing to buy direct from the author, then that money, people, goes into the author's pocket and not a greedy third-party corporation. That doesn't need the pennies.
Well,
you see, I love Amazon. You can see how much I love Amazon, can't you? Lastly, for those that have been listening and may want to help when it comes to the homeless and what you're doing, how can they help? And do you need any help? Is there any way you can send them to somewhere to take a look at stuff they could help with?
Well, I do give a portion of all my book sales to charity. Right now, my top charity is Habitat for Humanity, because I do feel one of the best ways to get people out of homelessness is to provide them with a house. That's kind of a no-brainer, right? Yeah. So so that's my big charity that I support, but there are several others that I do support. But that is the one I kind of point people to, is Habitat for Humanity. So,
well, that's amazing. I mean, people who's listening now, you're killing two birds with one stone. You're buying her book. You get to read some amazing fiction with lots of drama and emotion. And you're also helping the homeless, because she's given some of those proceeds to the charity. So I think if any reason to buy a book, then that one should be it. Thank you so much, Lee, for coming on the show and allowing us to learn more about who you are and your personal story.
Well, I am so glad you had me on. This was fun, and thank you for sharing your little bit of your story at the beginning. That was really brave of you to do, and I'm glad you are taking steps to protect yourself. So thank you sharing that.
No, thank you as well. I wish you all the best with your future sales and all the books you write. And we're going to keep in touch, because I want to chat with you about something else.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, folks. We are going to take a short break. And when we come back, I'll be chatting with Laurie G. Curtis. Don't go away.
We'll be right back. everyone. Welcome back to Author Assist. I am your host, Karina Gantas. You just heard Road to Glory, the new instrumental track by Michael Allen and his instrumental album, Calling. You can hear more of this fabulous guitar-driven melodical rock if you go over to his Facebook page, which is facebook.com, Michael Allen. So just check that, Michael Allen. Don't want to go to somebody else's page. Michael Allen, there we go, yes. So he has a new musical instrumental album, and you just heard his latest track. So go and check that out if you love that kind of music. My next guest is not only a two-time Hall of Fame inductee for women's basketball, but she's a published writer, of course. Welcome to the show, Laurie Governor Curtis.
Hello, hello. Thank you for the invitation. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. So let's get to the story. I mean, how did you first get involved with basketball? Have you always had the ability to play sports?
That is a really great question. I was late to basketball, actually. So I started out in track and field, and that's probably my first mm-hmm. love. And when I left, and I did that in middle school, here, that's 6th to 8th grade, and I was headed to high school, and my coach at the time was like, you should play basketball, and I said, okay, I'll give it a try, and I did, and 4 years later, between basketball, volleyball, track, and I ended up with a full scholarship to go to college. So I played in college, and I got my degree, two degrees, while I was there.
So I've got to ask, how tall are you?
I'm 6'2", 6 feet 2 inches.
And you think it was your height that made the coach say to you, let's try you at basketball?
I think that had something to do with it, absolutely. Absolutely, but I hadn't picked up a basketball prior to my 9th grade year of my first
wow.
year in high school. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
And the rest of your family, I mean, are they into sports?
Yes, my sister played, ran track, and my brother basketball and football. My brother is actually 6'7".
Runs in the family, eh?
It absolutely runs in the family.
What were you like back at school? I mean, creativity-wise, are you definitely into sports? And congratulations on getting that scholarship that took you into further education. But as I say to all my guests, you know, when you write, that's being creative. And it's never one thing. It's always something else. So, I mean, did you play a musical instrument? Did you like singing? Do you draw at all?
I cannot draw. Cannot do that, but I did. I played the flute in high school, and I was not a writer in high school. Writing mm-hmm. was not something that I thought I would ever do. I was into science and math.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Science.
Completely different side of the brain. And my my undergraduate degree is in math. So that was really where my interest lied. But life happens, and as a result of that, other opportunities open up.
So let's take that journey now with you. You've had your scholarship. You've done your degree, master's.
I did. My bachelor's degree was in math, and my master's was in sports management.
Right. Wonderful. So you kept on with the sports. You didn't let that go and just want to study or do a career with science or math. You actually kept your love of sports in that, and I think that's fabulous. So when you finished your further education, what was the first job that you worked with? What did you do?
Oh, gosh. My first job was with a a test preparation company called Stanley H. Kaplan Educational Centers. So I was working as a student advisor. So students would come to us and they would want to register for need support with standardized testing. And my company provided that. So I would support them and enroll them and register them and check in on them, make sure that everything, that they were ready to go for their classes.
Wow. And how long were you in that position for?
That position evolved into a 28-year career with that company, from managers to center director to faculty manager of our nursing faculty to working with programs and supporting student athletes coming in high school and providing SAT tutoring and advising for students, which I absolutely loved, of course. So my career, you know, with the company has been for over 28 years.
That is amazing, Lori, really is. So my next question, of course, is what or who pulled you into the speaking and motivation arena?
I think I mentioned it earlier, just life happened. So after college, got a job and got married, had two kids. My daughter, the youngest, she presented with a seizure. And from there, it has evolved. She does have a seizure disorder. She is on the autism spectrum. So just journeying through that process, getting used to that and how to navigate dealing with a child with special needs and all of the things that come with it, the doctor's appointments, the working with the teachers and the specialists to make sure that she has what she needs to thrive. Shortly, some years after that, as we continue to manage that, my husband was robbed, and he was actually killed in that robbery attempt.
My gosh. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. So just the journey of dealing with that and having to navigate now being a single parent of two young children. I think at the time my son was going into his eighth grade year of school. So young man, trying to figure things out, getting ready to get into high school. And I found that what comforted me, and you know, when you're in that period of stress, what comforted me was certainly my faith, but as part of that, I started to journal.
Yeah.
And it allowed for me to, whatever I was dealing with, it allowed for me to get it out on paper. Didn't have any rhyme or reason. I was just writing. And I found those moments of when stress was extremely high, I would sit down and I would journal. And for me, I felt like it was just having a conversation with God. So instead of actually verbalizing a prayer, I would put all of my thoughts in the journal and use that as a way of release.
Very therapeutic.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. So now you're journaling and you're noticing that you're getting all of these emotions out and you're able to express yourself on paper. What made you then to stand up and express yourself in front of hundreds of people?
Sure. I would share with my friends, and there's one friend in particular that I would share with, and she was doing some things in the world of writing and becoming an author herself. And she kept saying to me, Lori, let me know when you're ready to share your story. I would also get from friends and others, Lori, I don't know how you're doing it. How are you able to raise a young male child raise a daughter with special needs and stay so grounded.
Yeah.
And my friend just kept saying, when you're ready to share your story, when you're ready to share your story. So I knew that that was something that I wanted to do, but I wasn't ready for it. Certainly yeah. writing, there's a level of being very vulnerable about mm-hmm. who you are, what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. I dare say maybe a little fear of being sharing that information with the world.
Yeah.
So I came to a point in time where I was ready. My kids were getting older. They were established. They didn't need mom as much, if you will, doing their own things. So I said, now is my time. It's my time to share. And when I said that, because I'm not a writer, again, this is not natural for me, I got a coach more for that accountability piece, to hold me accountable to writing. And from there, when I made that decision, then my friend said, hey, I have this project. Would you be interested? And I said, yes. So from there, that's where I then began the journey of sharing my story and then speaking.
So it was a book first and then the speaking and motivation coach.
That's correct.
Wow. Wow. Normally, it's the other way around. People are speakers and they want then to have a book and use it as a marketing tool to show their authenticity of what they do and that they know what they're talking about, basically.
Right.
And you've done it the other way around, which I think is absolutely wonderful. Going back to the talking now, for anyone that's listening who wants to have the confidence to stand up and speak about their story, about what they do, what kind of tip could you give them about going ahead and doing that?
I would say your voice, your story is needed in the world. We all have come from different backgrounds, different walks of life, have different experiences, mm-hmm. and we can all learn from each other. So there are things that you know and that you've experienced and that you've done. When you share that information out to the world, I can take, oh yeah, this makes sense to me. I'll take that piece and I will then implement it in my life. So I think it also will allow people to see that they're not alone, that there are other people having this issue, this struggle, wanting to find out more about this area, this subject, that there are people that are out there that are experiencing the same things. I think that when we are quiet and when we don't share our story, people feel alone. And they don't have to be. When you are able to share your story and it allow for people to understand who you are, appreciate who you are, and also reach out to you for added support. You've been mm-hmm. through it. Lori's been through it. How did you handle it, Lori? And then when you're comfortable in sharing that, you can go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. There's, like you said, everyone's got the story, and even if you think it's not worth talking about, you'll be amazed how many people will be able to relate to it.
Absolutely.
And get some closure from listening to mm-hmm. you telling your story, whether it's on stage or through on the page, through words. Tell me about your book, What Now? Mindset Volume 1. How did you get involved in that?
Yes, it was a project that, again, my friend brought to me that she was project manager of, and they were looking for authors to talk about that What Now moment. So life happens. What now? What do you do? How did you get through it? So that allowed for me to share my story of my daughter and my experience of having to change the way I envisioned her life and my life with her to be. And the title of my chapter is My Choice. So again, going back to the fact that life is going to happen to you, but you have a choice in how you respond to it. So that's been my life. That's been when we found out that Lauren was autistic, when we found out she had a seizure disorder. Do I stay with the goal of what I envisioned her? Absolutely. I envisioned her playing sports and me standing on the sidelines, perhaps even coaching her. But that had to shift. So do I want to stay with that, you know, fantasy, if you will, or idea of who she was going to be? Or do I move through and embrace her with where she is? And being in the here and now as to where she is and not what I'm hoping for her. Certainly, I want her to do well and be successful. But yet, the what now mindset is just when life happens, what now? And that has been my life. And I get to choose. And when I get to choose, I have control. I take the control back. And I don't fall into a state of despair because I'm dealing with something that's difficult. Doesn't mean that it goes away. Absolutely doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. But it's something that you can choose how you respond to it.
I see all these tests that are thrown at us through our life as tests, and accepting it and getting on with life because you can't change the outcome is the way forward. You can have a pity party. You can have the why is it always happening to me? But that's not going to change things. So just, you know, pull your knickers up, as they say, and get on with things. You know, it's no good dwelling on the fact that these bad things have happened and will happen. You have to embrace the life that you're now living. It's a different pathway than what you envisioned, but you're still on that path.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think that in my life, everything, I see things as everything happening for a reason. There's little lessons that can be learned through whatever that you're dealing with and going through and that you encounter. And it's all about just that response. And it's sometimes it's difficult to get through it. And I give myself, it's not that simple as I do what I just stated. It's not just that simple of just making the choice that, you know, how to respond to it. Of course, the initial response going to be, oh my goodness, what am I going to do at this point in time? But it's a matter of each time you encounter something, that response time gets quicker. The way you shift your mindset certainly gets does. Quicker.
I said something at the beginning of the show you probably didn't hear about. Basically, my 30-year-old relationship, my 19 years married with my husband, my two beautiful girls, ended not by my choice. And I had to leave my home in Greece and leave my girls behind, and for my own sanity and health to come back to the UK and start from scratch, start again. And it wasn't until he gave me that out that I realized that I was in a mentally abusive relationship for the last 30 years.
Wow.
I thought how I was living was how I should accept. I thought once you're married and this is your life, you accept it, you get on with it, you do the best you can. So I did accept it. I accepted him to run everything, to take my independence away. To because of the language barrier, he was having to do everything, and I would just sit there, and he'd tell me what he wanted me to hear, not what I should hear, what I can wear, who I can see, what I can do, and I accepted that like
naive person, because I assumed once that wedding ring was on my finger, nothing ever was going to break that marriage.
Right.
And it was just crazy that it was my husband that decided he was going to be the one to break it. So, yeah, I get all of the, everything you've said. I mean, I've never been in the position you have, but big decisions have to be made.
Yeah.
Sacrifices have to be made for the good of everybody. And having that chance now for me to start again, I'm 50 next year. My life doesn't begin at 40 for me. It begins at 50.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, you took the choice. It was difficult, but you moved through it. And as you said, yeah. Life begins at 50. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. You, like I said, it wasn't my choice. There's nothing I could do to stop it.
Right.
So I had to take it and deal with it and get now move on and get on with it. And so many doors have opened. I'm having a social life. I've joined an art club. I do gaming, Dungeons and Dragons, which I would never, thought I would ever do. I'm having such an absolute marvelous time.
It's amazing what happens when you say yes to yourself and yeah. to your dreams and to your goals
yeah.
and to your desires. And you said yes. And all of the opportunities that open up, I almost look at it as a level of surrendering to mm-hmm. whatever that thing is, that issue is, and not giving up to the point where, you know, as you said, that you just throw your hands up and throw in the towel, but surrendering to the control of that, whatever that is. And when you can surrender that, you know, then you can live organically and allow life to happen. And
I get to make my own mistakes now.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I get to have my own decisions. I get to learn who Karina is. Because 30
Absolutely.
Years of it, I've been not shouting.
Silent.
Just, silent. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So what are you, I mean, we all have projects to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Yours keeps growing. You're doing your coaching. You're doing your books. You're doing working with individuals. Tell me a quick, because I know we're running out of time. Tell me a quick what the court solutions is. I looked on your website. I think
sure.
it's fantastic that you're taking your love of sport and
mm-hmm.
bringing that into your love for motivation and mindset and helping people through their dark times and getting them through other stuff. It's I love that you've been able to combine the two. So do you want to
Absolutely.
Speak about that?
Sure. The company is called On the Court Solutions, and it's just a playoff of the fact that I played basketball. But really what I want to do is to support people, empower people, encourage people that are, you know, like you and I, that have dealt with issues. And I can use my life as an example. I believe that a lot of the lessons that I learned were on the court, if you will, that I use to
yeah.
this day in how I deal with things. So I created the company to work with not only individuals who are looking to level up in their own life, level up in their business, but I'm also looking, I have a love for sports and working with student athletes and student athlete development, and working with students who are transitioning into college, from high school into college, and supporting them. So there's a lot that surrounds playing in college. You have to manage not only the athletic side of things, but the academic side of things, the social life, the mental health, all of those
mm-hmm.
things. I want to support parents, and my son played football in college. I want to support parents who are transitioning as well into
yeah.
now being parents of college athletes versus high school athletes. So there is a difference. And
yeah,
being able to
definitely.
Share my experiences is what I am passionate about and want to do.
I think that's absolutely fantastic. And I love that you're getting your story out there, that you're able to hopefully motivate and help others that have been through similar and have seen that anybody, if they have the strength, if they have the will, and they have the motivation, we mm-hmm. can get through anything. As we said, it's part of life going through these difficult times, and it's a lesson to be learned. It's a it's a lesson, and it's a test. And you pass that test, you go on to the next lesson, and it's to reach that path that we were ultimately put on. And when you mm-hmm. find that you've reached the path, and I'm sure, I'm 100% certain, you are on the path you were meant to be put on. And it's all to do with helping other people. This path, it's if we help other people, it helps us.
Absolutely. And I think it's when you've been able to get to the other side, going back and supporting and helping other people, I think, to show them that you can get where I'm at. And let me show you how.
Yeah, love it. Oh, Laurie, it's been wonderful chatting with you. I wish you huge success with your book, with further books, all the projects you're doing. Where can people find your book and find out more about what you do?
They can go to my website, and that's LaurieGCurtis.com. And they can connect with me there, as well as just take a look and see what, purchase the book online as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being a guest on the show, Laurie.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure talking to you.
And you. Okay, everyone, that's all for now. I want you to keep your loved ones safe, keep a smile on your face, and love in your heart. This is Author Assist signing off.